Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I want to speak tonight on the subject that is really needed in our lives as Christians today in the world we live in. We'll talk about that a little bit. I want to speak on the peace of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time we can come together and sing your praises, worship together, fellowship together. And Lord, just come in the middle of the week, Lord, and have some time together around your word. Lord, I pray that it be a blessing to each and every one of us. Lord, we live in a very unpeaceful land today. Things are going on that we would never expected. And Lord, we as Christians need your peace. That's how we're going to get through this. And Lord, we know that you're in control. We thank you for your sovereignty. We thank you, Lord, that you know exactly what's taking place. And Lord, let us just put our faith and trust in you and know that all is well. And so, Lord, I pray you just bless this time tonight that we have around your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We live in a world today where people worry a lot. Did you know that? Maybe that's you. And when they get done worrying, they start worrying about what they were worrying about. All right? So it can get crazy. People worrying about everything. And when we let worry, you know, mamas might say, well, mamas are supposed to worry. Okay? I know there's some truth to that. Someone asked where Marky and Christy are this week, and they're in Texas, and it's raining. So they told us they had a little, they were a little weary, or strange them as they drove on I-20 back into Texas, because that's where they had all their trouble with all the rain. Of course, it's not as bad as it was, but I know there's a good type of worrying about your kids and that they're going to be safe and all those things. And by the way, you folks have small kids; it doesn't stop when they get older. Okay. It doesn't stop when they get married. It doesn't stop when they, you know, whatever. And so there's some good worry there. Paul teaches us that the peace of God is to free us from worry. A lot of people are in bondage today to their worry, everything they're worrying about. I heard a statistic, but then I heard that statistics aren't all true. Okay, so I don't know if this is right, but I heard a statistic that 80% of all worry never takes place. Okay, so I don't know how they came up with that, but 80% of the things we worry about never take place. And so Paul teaches us that when we worry, we let our peace and our joy and our peace of God, we let it go away. We let it slip out of our lives. And the greatest thing we have going for us today is the peace of God. You know, if we look around us and see all the things that are taking place, we see all the things that are happening in our country and happening in our world, we could worry ourselves to a frenzy. We could get to a point where we were useless or even helpless because we were worrying so much. And so we need to have the peace of God in our lives, and we can have that. Worry, one of the definitions of worry is to strangle, okay? And so when we worry, we strangle the peace of God right out of our lives. And so we're in bondage a lot of times. It can be physically, it can be emotionally, and then it hits the spiritual realm. And so when we don't have the peace of God, we put ourselves in bondage to all these things. And when we start worrying, and we don't have the peace of God in our lives, what we're saying to God is, well, I can handle this, I can take care of it. And he wants us to have his peace tonight. Look at verse 6 here that we read. It says, this is all a way of introduction, be careful for nothing. There it says, that word careful means be anxious for nothing, could be said that way. It could be said, don't worry. And don't worry about the things that are troubling you. A lot of times we allow the circumstances of life to literally tear us apart emotionally and physically if we're not careful. The Bible here, when it says be careful, it's saying don't be torn apart. Don't let your lives be torn apart over the circumstances that come our way. And so I want to talk tonight more positively about this thing of the peace of God. And I got three or four points I want to bring us thought about tonight out of these verses. And first thing I want us to see, the peace of God is a privilege. And it's an amazing privilege, okay? Not everyone can have the peace of God. We'll talk about that in a little bit, okay? Not everyone can have the peace of God. And so it's an amazing privilege that you and I have as Christians to have the peace of God. I'm glad here in verse 7, look what it says in verse 7, and the peace of God. I'm glad it doesn't say, and the peace of mama, okay, or the peace of daddy. Those are important things. I want to have peace with my mom and dad, okay, or the peace with my pastor, or the peace with my spouse. Now, I know if mama's not happy, no one's happy, all right? I know it's good to have peace in the house, all right? But I'm thankful it's the peace of God that is so amazing and such a privilege for us to have. It says it passes all understanding. Have you ever looked back on something and maybe you didn't realize it as you're going through it, but then you sit back and look at something you're going through and or have gone through, and you say, man, how did I get through that? How did I make it through that situation? And if you're a Christian tonight, you know how you made it through that situation. You made it because of the peace of God. You made it because you had the trust that you trusted God with everything in your life, and you trusted him. Whatever happened, you knew that he was in control. Dealt with people that have lost loved ones. And a typical question is to ask is why? It could be the timing. It could be the age. It could be the situation. And there's nothing wrong with asking that question, why? But we as Christians, we know that God has a purpose and he has a reason. Even though we may not understand it now, there'll be some things we may not even understand until we get to heaven, until we are in heaven and be able to understand those things. People might have asked you this question, how did you do it? How did you get through that? Well, I've done many funerals, and sometimes I've been called to do funerals of people I didn't know. People that had no hope that the person that was in the casket was a Christian. No hope that they would see them again. How do we make it through a time when it's a tragedy? Something happens quickly, and we're not expecting it. We're not ready for it. And we're never ready for death, but those tragic times when it happens so quickly, we can get through that because we have the peace of God. You know, it's hard to describe, isn't it? People might ask you, how did you get through it? Well, we know we have that hope, but still it's hard to describe. I like what Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says there. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we can't experience the peace of God unless we have peace with God. You say, well, this is a Wednesday night crowd, so probably everyone here is saved. We don't take that for granted. You cannot have the peace of God tonight unless you have peace with God. Romans chapter 5 there says we are justified by faith and we have the peace of God. Once we ask Christ as our Savior, once we ask Christ to come into our hearts and forgive us our sins, he becomes our Savior, he becomes our Lord, and he gives us a peace that passes all understanding. So without having peace with God tonight, you can't have peace of God. Many times I've had people come to me when I'm getting ready to preach a funeral, and they were grasping at straws basically to say that their loved one was saved. And without the peace of God, without having peace with God, you can't have the peace of God. If you don't have the peace with God tonight, you don't need to be praying and worrying about your financial things, your family problems, problems at the job, whatever. You need to make sure you've got the peace with God taken care of, first of all. And that's the only way you're going to have the peace of God. There can only be perfect peace in your soul if you have Christ there. And so if you don't know Christ tonight, why don't you ask him as your Savior and know his peace tonight? It's a wonderful description. Look here in verse 7 of that peace in Philippians chapter 4. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your minds and hearts through Christ Jesus. And so it's an amazing privilege. Well, I ask you a question, Christian, tonight. You know, we have different privileges in life. And it's sad when people have privileges in life and don't take advantage of them. So I ask you this question, are you taking advantage of the peace of God that you have in your heart? Or are you one of those worry warts, okay, that the little kids sing about in their Pastor Pirate songs? Are you one that's always wringing your hands and wondering what's going to happen next? Are you taking advantage of the awesome, amazing privilege you have of the peace of God? How sad we get to the end of our lives and say, man, I could have had it so much easier. Things could have been so much simpler if I had just trusted in the peace of God that he's given me that passes all understanding. Well, it is a privilege. It's an amazing privilege. But then we've got to get it. We've got to get it into our hearts. We've got to obtain it. And we want to ask the question, secondly, not only is it a privilege, we want to ask the question, how do we obtain it? How do we get the peace of God? And it's real simple here in verses 4 through 6. It tells us exactly how to get the peace of God. First of all, in verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, a lot of people have a problem with that, okay? Being happy with every situation that God puts you in. Rejoicing. You see the word and there at the beginning of verse 7. And the peace of God. That's a conjunction, all right? I know you're out of school and school's out now, so you don't want to hear about English. But that ties or puts together, it hinges verses 7 with verses 4 through 6. If you're going to have the peace of God that passes all understanding, you've got to do the things that we found in verses 4 through 6. And so first of all, we have to rejoice in the Lord. How can we rejoice in the Lord? Where does your joy come from? Well, one reason we can rejoice, look at what it says in verse 5. The Lord is at hand. It's wonderful to know that the Lord is always there for us. The Lord's at hand. He's readily available. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He'll be there for us whenever we need him. And we can go to him. And so that's one reason we ought to rejoice in the Lord, because the Lord is at hand. But the second thing about that is look at verse 5. There's another word. It says the moderation. I want to see the word moderation. It says, let your moderation be known unto all men. If you have the peace of God, you've got to let it be seen by men. If God's your Lord, if you got peace with God, you need to let the world know you've got the peace of God. What a poor testimony we can be if we don't show that we have the peace of God in our lives. And the Bible says here in moderation, what that means is gentleness. I believe we as Christians, and I've talked about this some in Sunday school, we're talking about being the salt and the light that this world needs. Boy, it needs it today. It needs it more than ever. We got to be gentle in our dealings with the unsaved, with the world. We got to be able to deal delicately with them. We need to be sensitive, Lord, to their needs. We need to be sensitive to their situations. I've seen Christians many times. I was in one of the convenience stores this week, and I've talked to this lady before, going there quite often, and she's a Christian. And this guy came in. It was early in the morning, and it was over a pack of cigarettes, and he left a pack of cigarettes the time he was in there before, and he wanted her to give those back to him, and had no proof of it. And she said, I'll look at the video, and if I can see that you did that, I'll give them back to you. And he just started raking her over the coals, just yelling at her, screaming at her. And I was watching her, and she just handled it so well. She was a great testimony to that man, even though he wasn't happy when he left, but she handled it gently. And that's what you and I need to learn to do. The world doesn't need us saying that we're Christians and then treat them badly. And so it talks about moderation there, letting the peace of God be seen to this world. They need that. A great man of God said one time, we need to reach people where they are, not to where we think they ought to be. We see people in the situations they're at. We see the things they're dealing with, and we need to try to reach them and be sensitive right there on their level. Do we don't compromise that. Now, sometimes we have to speak the truth. We have to take a stand, but we need to do it in love. Someone once said, your testimony is what other people think God is to you. I like that when I saw that this week. I was reading that. It says, your testimony is what other people think God is to you. And so let me ask you this tonight. What do people view of your God? What do they see of your God? What do they think God is? What do you, can they tell what you think about God in the way that you live? There'll be times to stand, but we must do it in a Christ-like way. Then in verse 6, so we see in verse 4 we have to rejoice in the Lord. Remember, in verse 5 we have to treat people right, so our salvation and our moderation will be known unto all men. But then in verse 6 he gives the rules to have the peace of God in our lives. And sometimes these aren't easy, okay? This is the hard part. First of all, it says in verse 6, it says, be careful for nothing. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And so we need to just put our cares on Christ, let him carry the burden for us, and be careful for nothing, as it tells us to do here. So many times we do exactly opposite of what the song that I believe we sang it Sunday night in invitation time. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. We'll pray and we'll be begging God, and we'll come to the altar and we'll be just pleading with God and ask him to take the burden for us. And then what do? We get up and take it back with us into our daily lives. And so we have to be careful for nothing. We need to take our burdens to the Lord and leave it there. That verse I read in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon him. That means slinging it, okay? That's a good way to say it. I always like the story of David. I love how he took his sling and slung those stones, all right? Well, that's what we're supposed to do with our burdens, our cares. Cast them and throw them away, violently throw them away. And so we have to be careful for nothing. Then number two, the second rule is found in verse 6. But in everything by prayer and supplication. We've got to pray about it. How many times do we try to work things out and figure things out and think we got all the answers and we realize we haven't even prayed about it? My dad was known for a saying that he said many times. I heard him say it over and over and over again. Especially when we went to him, first as children and teenagers and adults and married and making decisions in our life. And I heard him say it to many other people. Dad, what do you think we ought to do? He goes, well, let's just pray about it. Let's just pray about it. And there's a lot of good common sense there. We ought to pray for it. Pray for everything. God's concerned about the little things. God's concerned about the things that that we think are not important. He cares for the sparrow. He cares for the lily of the field. How much more would he care for you and I as his children? And so we need to pray about it. There was a marquee on a church one time. A pastor put it up there. It said, why pray about it when you can worry about it? And he said, I put that up there because that's the way we live. Why pray about it? Because just worry about it. And he was saying that sarcastically, but that's sometimes our thinking. Remember, nothing's too small for God. He's concerned about your very little things in your life. And then the third thing he tells us we must do, not only to be careful for nothing, but in praying and supplication for everything, it says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God, being thankful for everything. Yeah, you say, Brother Mark, you don't know my boss, okay? Be thankful for him. And you don't know my teacher at school. Be thankful school's out. You'll have a different teacher next year. You don't know my situation. You don't know all I'm going through. I don't. I don't know everything everyone's going through tonight. But I do know this. I serve a God that I can trust and you can trust, and he'll give us his peace. And we just need to be thankful for everything he puts us through. So we need to be thankful for it. And so those are the three rules we have to live by if we're going to have the peace of God. We've got to be careful for nothing. We've got to pray for everything and be thankful for everything. But then not only do we see the awesome privilege of this amazing peace of God we can have, and not only do we see how we can obtain it, but then I want you to see the power of the peace of God, the power of the peace of God. I'm going to turn over to Isaiah. You don't have to turn there, but Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. Let me go and start with verse 1. I love this portion of scripture. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city, salvation. Will God appoint for walls and build bulwarks? Open ye gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. I love this verse right here. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. I want you to go back in your mind and think about the times, because for all of us, there's been times when we haven't had the peace of God in our lives. Now, if you have peace with God, that can't be taken with you, taken away from you. That's settled. That's settled in heaven. That can't. But you know what? Every one of us goes through a time when there's not peace in our life. And we look back at those times and we would say, oh, man, I don't want to deal with those times again. Or I didn't let God have control. Or I thought I could take care of everything. And I didn't have that peace of God. There's a power in the peace of God. It keeps your hearts and minds. It says here in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Being kept in the power of God. Some people are up one day, down the other day, emotionally, physically, spiritually. Their commitment to Christ is not what it ought to be. That's why we lose the peace of God sometimes in our lives. Zach's not here tonight, but I was going to use him as an example, all right? Getting married this weekend. You go out fishing. I'm not much of a fisherman. I do fish some. I don't do it all the time, but I used to do it more when I was younger. But, we'd go out fishing and we'd catch a small little fish and we'd throw that back in because we couldn't keep it, all right? But, boy, the fish were just right, knew we could eat it and everything. We call that, a keeper, all right? I'm going to keep that fish, you know. And I was going to tell Zach he's got a keeper, so he better talk about commitment tonight. Okay, I told my boys several times, you married way above yourselves, all right? I remember several times with our kids so far away and not being able to meet these girls that our boys were interested in, there was, at least with Marky, there was at least another couple other girls, you know, that he met out at college, and we wanted to know about them. And so I remember I'd call out there and talk to one of the men I knew out there, talk to the dean of men when Doug started dating Amber, and I said, tell me about this Amber Averback. I want to know all about her. He said, don't worry, she's a keeper, okay? And I said, if it was your son, would you recommend to him to marry her? He goes, I'd tell her to marry her tomorrow. So he had a very high recommendation of her, and so we felt good about that. And thank the Lord that our children have married well. And so I'm wondering tonight, are we keepers? Are we committed to Christ? Have we committed ourselves to all that he wants us to do? Can he say we're a keeper in his mind? We don't know what's going to take place tomorrow. One phone call, one situation can make the difference in our lives. We don't know what's going to come tomorrow, but I do know this. I can smile. I can rejoice. I can know that God's in control. I can be thankful. I can, and you can too. And he's my creator. He's my substance. He's my savior. He's my sustainer. He's my sender to heaven. And so I can trust the Lord for that. That's the power of the peace of God, that we can get through these times that we're in. And then the last thing, and I got ahead of myself a little bit here, but where does it stay? And I got ahead of myself when I was talking about that time we've had peace of the peace of God in our lives. And I'll be honest with you, I want to stay right there all the time. I want the peace of God every moment of the day, knowing that he's going to take control of everything, and know that he's going to get us through it. There was once a bumper sticker I saw, and you may have seen this. I've seen it on marquees at churches also. Know Jesus. And they say, N-O, Jesus, no peace, N-O, peace. Or, no Jesus, K-N-O-W, Jesus, no peace, K-N-O, peace. And I've used that at funerals before. And I truly believe that. If you're going to know the peace of God tonight, you've got to know Jesus. To love him, to know him, to taste of his goodness. You know, I think I've mentioned this before. My mom was a great cook, and my grandma was a great cook. Loved going to my grandma's house and some of the great food that she would fix. And I won't talk a lot about it because some of you haven't ate supper yet, and I don't want to worry you about that, okay? So I always hated when I heard my mom say this statement. I may have used this before. Going back home from college or going back home after being married, I took this recipe and I've changed it just a little bit. I thought, Mom, it was perfect. Why did you change it? Okay, why would you mess something with something that's so good? And if we've tasted and seen that God is so good in our lives, if we've had the peace of God, why would we want to go to any place in our lives than that? Why would we want to be somewhere else that we didn't have the peace of God? I'm going to go back to Isaiah, and I want to read a verse out of chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12, verses 1 through 6 says this, "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation, I will trust." And as I read these verses, think of the many times it says the word "my." "Behold, God is my salvation, I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee." And so, we've tasted of that salvation. We've tasted of that strength. We've tasted all the things that God has for us. And it's a personal thing for you and I. We've each had the chance to taste of these things. And why wouldn't we want them again? And so I'll say tonight, the circumstances will get you down. The things going on in our world and in our nation, they can get you down. Don't worry about them. Circumstances will change. I'm glad Christ said, "I am the Lord, I change not." And we can put our trust in that. You get discouraged. You get maybe cast down about things. You want to give up. Maybe you want to get out of the peace of God, or you're out of the peace of God and trying to get back in. A good thing to do is always think about Job. In closing, I want to read a couple of verses out of the book of Job. And it's a great book and a lot of lessons we can learn from. But Job chapter 1, verse 20 says, and he's gone through all kinds of things. He's lost his wealth. He's lost his health and his family. Here in verse 20, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped, and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Now, I'm just trying to imagine myself, and you imagine yourself. If you'd just gone through all the things that Job had gone through, would you be able to say that? You know how he did that? He had the peace of God. He lost everything he had as far as wealth. He lost his family. But I love what verse 22 says. And that's what I want my prayer to be in my life, and I hope it'll be the prayer in your life. When we start to worry about things, when we try to get, we're troubled about the things that are happening in our lives and are all around us and all the things that could take place. I love what chapter 1, verse 22 says. "In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." And the only way you'll be able to do that, to live like Job did, is to have the peace of God. First question tonight is, do you have peace with God? Have you been born again? Do you know for sure you're going to heaven? If you've got that settled, then you have the peace of God. You just got to take advantage of the privilege, the awesome privilege that we have, knowing the peace of God. Troubles are going to come. When we get saved doesn't mean everything's going to be pie in the sky like some preachers might preach. But tonight, when the troubles come, when the things you come that you think you can't handle, you can have the peace that passes all understanding. And so let's pray that we have that in our lives tonight when those times come.